I'm going to just say guilty, but I'm going to ask, have any of you ever asked your kids to go clean the room? Or better yet, they said, I can't find something in my room, right? And then I go clean your room. And they come back and they go, I cleaned my room. And then you go into the room and you're going, ha! And then I'm like, that's it! Everybody is, you know, so then we start moving beds and washing walls and cleaning corners out and windows and stuff because we are going to deep clean. Right? Anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
So a particular mom, Mrs. Camp, said while their child was away at camp, that's what she did. Deep clean. And we're allowed to do that because we're moms. But the reason why I tell you all that is because the Holy Spirit's in us, sometimes it gets all junked up. Like stuff. So we're gonna deep clean so we can that we can allow the Holy Spirit to move in our life at a higher level. And he's moving it, but I want him to move at a higher level. And such as one of my kids, you know, just walking in the room was dangerous, okay? And I couldn't go running in. So I want the Holy Spirit to move in my life at a higher level. Anybody else? Good, you're at the right place at the right time. So I want to start with a story. It's a true story. I'm changing the name so you don't know who I'm talking about, okay? So years and years ago, there was a businessman in our church. And he became friends with this guy, Rick. Not his real name. It's not here. Okay. He became friends with this guy, Rick, and he approached him. And the businessman had a business, but he wanted to start a second business. So he said, hey, Rick, I want to start this other business, and I want to know if you want to be a part of this startup. And it would mean contributing some money, but here's the deal. You would be a silent partner, and this is going to make money, and you're going to just get blessed from it, right? And what happened is it sounded like a great deal. It really did. And it's sort of like a no-brainer. Just put a little bit of money, and then you're going to get some more money feedback later on, and I don't have to go doing a whole lot. So Rick said to him, first, I want you to, he said, first I want to pray about this, and I also want to talk about my wife. All of y'all, talk to your wife first. So he did. He went home, and he talked to his wife about it, and he started praying about it. And and what happened was, he started feeling like, I just feel like this isn't what I'm supposed to do. Now, really, it was a no-brainer. It's just going to cost him it's like $1,000, okay? But the payback was going to be greater. It was like, you should do this. It just makes sense. Go do this. But he was praying about it, and he was like, yeah, I just don't feel like I should do this. And, you know, this happens to me, and it probably happens to a lot of you. I'll pray about things, and it'll be more like a green light. Yep, green light, we can do this. And other times it's like, you know, I just kind of got a red light. Anybody ever have like the Lord talk to you like that? It's not so much this, it's just like the inside. And we can talk later about this. This one preacher says it's like taking a shower with your socks on, that red light. It's weird. You just know, not so good. So anyway, my friend Rick, he was my friend, and they were feeling like the socks in the shower, and he went to the guy and he said, hey, thank you very much. I just don't feel like this is for me, and maybe it's for somebody else. You can help bless them. But, you know, and he didn't go through the whole red light, green light thing. But he said, you know, so they left on a good thing. Well, here's the thing. About a year later, that man got arrested for his first business, okay? He ended up in jail. All right, and the friend Rick is like, shoo, baby, I'm glad I listened to the red light, green light, right? So I just want to say that I am glad when I listen to the red light, green light. And that's really the Holy Spirit who wants to help us. Everybody say he wants to help us. He does. He wants to help us in every area of our life, all right? And we have to allow him, and he wants to go guide us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And this is kind of like our theme verse for this day, all right? So and what I would say, hey, that's a post-it note for the week, right? Just post-it note and read it every day. Y'all at 1 Corinthians 3:16? Here we go. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And temple is meaning the holy house. So So do you not know that you are the temple, the holy house of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Wow. So this is, we just had a great time of worship here. And a lot of times someone will say, and I say a lot, wow, I just sense the Holy Spirit, the presence of God here through the worship. I sense the presence of God here through the Holy Spirit. But did you guys know you can have that all the time? Right? Because the scripture says you are his temple, his holy place. You are, and he comes to live inside of us. So again, temple means holy place, and that's the same word that God spoke to about the tabernacle of Moses, or the temple of Moses. So God, you guys all knew the story last week, God delivered the children out of Egypt, all right, the Hebrew children out of Egypt. And when they got out of Egypt, God gave Moses some directions. He actually gave him some blueprints to erect, to build this temple where God would dwell, all right? And there were three parts to it. So over here was the outer court. Over here was the holy place. And then you all are the holy of holy place, okay? And the center between the holy place and the holy place, holy holies, was this curtain that separated, okay? And the Levites, they were like the everyday priests. They could go from here to here. They could go from the outer court to the holy place, but they weren't allowed to go to the holy holies, all right? And the only people that were allowed to go from here to here to here were the high priests. Like Aaron and all of his descendants, they were allowed to go from here to here to here to the holy place, right? They were the only ones, but they had to do a whole bunch of stuff in order to go there. They had to do all this ceremonial washing. It's just a lot of stuff, all right? But here's the thing. If anybody who wasn't supposed to, which we said were the high priests and maybe the descendants, if anybody went into this holy of holy place, they would literally die. Boom, on the ground, okay? And listen, it wasn't because God was mad at them. It wasn't because God was mad at them. You know, like, you went in there and you weren't supposed to do that. No, it was because they weren't holy enough to go into that. Right? So, the scripture we just read, 1 Corinthians 3, says that God has made you holy. Matter of fact, you are as holy as the holy holies. He has made you holy, that you could, holy of holies, okay? Now listen, not perfect, right? You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, and we are endeavoring to be more like Jesus, walk like him, and thank goodness for 1 John 1:9. When I mess up, Lord, you said to come to you and confess my sin. I thank you for cleaning me, all right? So, but here's the thing. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life to be the Lord and Savior in your life, you are as holy as the holy holies, all right? And the Bible says that he has washed you through the blood of Jesus, and now you are blameless and holy and righteous that you can go all over the place, all right? So you are as holy as the holy of holies, and he has placed his Holy Spirit inside of you. Everybody say, Holy Spirit in me. So here's your second posting note from the week. If you're taking notes, jot it down. We'll put it up on the screen. Ready? The Holy Spirit is in us, which we just talked about, but he's in us to help us. He's in us to help us, right? And he wants to help you in a really big way. He's in us and wants to help us, okay? But whenever you start a sentence with a blank, you got to pay attention. But we might have to deep clean some things out of our life so that he can... you can allow him to operate in your life at a high level, okay? He's with you, but he wants to operate at a high level. So turn over to John 14. This is a really good scripture about the Holy Spirit in us to help us. The Holy Spirit in us to help us, all right? John 14, 6. And they'll put it up on the screen if you don't have a Bible, all right? Or you're doing this thing here, all right? John 14, 6. And I will ask the Father God, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. All right? And then he says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay? Now, This is red letter in your Bible. That means this is Jesus doing all the talking. And he's talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. He's talking to them. He's having this big thing. And Jesus had not yet died. But listen to this. If he had not yet died, and yet the scripture, if the Holy Spirit were to went inside of them then, because Jesus had not died, all right? But if he went into them then, they would just kind of explode. You know why? Because they're not holy enough at that point. But now, the scripture is telling them, Jesus is telling them, what's going to happen to them after he dies and goes to heaven, okay? And it's telling us what happens to us. He will be in us. And guys, he's in us to help us. Everybody say help. Okay. So why is he in us? Just so I can say, oh, he's in us? No, he's in us to help us every day in our lives, right? So I want to talk about this deep cleaning so we can get some things out of our life. Because when we've got stuff cluttered in our life, it actually stops him from just being, doing better and higher things in our life. Okay, so here we go. If you're taking notes, jot this down. This is an area that, I'll be honest, I kind of struggle with sometimes. All right, here we go. Walking in love and forgiveness will activate the Holy Spirit. So we want to deep clean, right, so that he can move in our life at a high level. So we need to be walking in love and forgiveness. So activate, again, high level, all right? So, but here's the thing. I have to walk in love. I have to walk in forgiveness. You have to walk in love. You have to walk in forgiveness, or it's going to stop him from moving at a high level in your life. So real simple. Now, turn over to Ephesians. This is a good one for this. Ephesians 4:30. This is the Holy Spirit in us, okay? Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve. That means to make sorrowful or offend. Right. So do not grieve or make sorrowful or offend the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's in us, and God is saying, hey, make sure you don't grieve him. So I'm like, well, how would I grieve him? How would I make him sorrowful? How would I offend him? Well, read the next verse. Here we go. The next verse. This is how we can make him sorrowful and offend him. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling. I did that a long time ago. Slander, along with every form of malice, okay? Now this is what we do. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God, just as Christ in God forgave you, all right? So get rid of all this kind of sin, all right? So I lost myself on my notes, sorry about that. So if I'm walking in bitterness and offense and slander and rage and brawling, which we would call a sin, right? I am going to make him sorrowful. I'm going to grieve him. But when I start doing like, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm not going to be bitter anymore. I'm going to love that person. Then it opens up that the Holy Spirit's going to move in your life in a big way, in a big way. All right? Now, just maybe. Maybe one person in this place has some anger stuff going on in your life, all right? So I can only watch the news once a week. I am sorry. No, I'm not. But I figured it out. Because I watch it, and I just start getting angry. And I start getting mad. The injustice. How do you like those words, okay? And so that can just kind of do in here, okay? And maybe you're the one person in here, or somebody else out there, that you get angry at so-and-so. Because every time you get near so-and-so, they say blink and blink, you know, about you. Or you just get so bitter about what's been going on at work. And, you know, so we all have stuff, not just me, not just one person, where we can be angry and we can be bitter and, you know, all this stuff in here, right? So he's telling us, you need to wash that out of your life. You need to just wash it out of your life. You got to get rid of the bitterness and forgive people, right? So, why do I have to do that? Well, if I don't do that, I am grieving the Holy Spirit. I don't like that. I'm making him sorrowful, right? So that's why we want to do that. Now, here's the second thing that in order to have the Holy Spirit work in our life at a higher level, this is what we do. It might surprise you, ready? Clean or cleanse the negative out of your life. Will allow the Holy Spirit to work in a higher level in your life. Cleanse the negative. So I kind of figured it might, negativity is kind of my default. All right, I just kind of go negative, right? And I have people in my life that just punch me along the way, all right? So I have had to work at this, all right? You know, that's that glass is half empty, you know, empty instead of full. So I've had to work at this. So let me tell you what, turn over to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Some of you are looking at me, yeah, I do that. But I'm working at it. No negativity, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. That's my mantra. Rejoice, okay? Pray continually. That's my second one. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And here's what it'll do for you. If you rejoice and do all that, here's why, well, better yet, this is rejoice. Because if you don't do this, you're going to quench the Holy Spirit. So what does quench mean? It's like throwing a bucket of water on it, okay? It means to suppress. It means to put the flame out. So when you're in the negative, negative about everybody and everything and everything that's going on in your life, that's what you're going to do, all right? So he's saying, God is saying, hey, Dee, you need to stay positive. Guess what? God is positive. Heaven's positive. All right? So, I am going to suppress this negative. Sometimes you don't have it. So, we have a thing around here. Smile. More like this. Okay? Now, that part where it says, give thanks in all circumstances. All right? So anytime you say, be thankful in all circumstances, it's you know, I've seen people just go totally screwy out the left field. I am not going to give thanks for the evil in this world or for the troubles in my life. Everybody say, no brainer. All right? But some people read that. Well, I'm supposed to go, yay! It's all hitting the fan in my house. Okay, no. In all my circumstances, even the troubles and stuff, I'm looking for what I can praise. What I can give thanks, okay? Just so we get that. Such as, shoo, go to the gas pump, right? All right? I'm so glad I sold that Commander. Jeez Louise. But, you know, if you go to the gas pump, you all that have those big cars and SUVs and trucks, and you know, it's like ding, 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 ding. Because guess what? It costs more to fill it up these days, right? It costs more than it cost 2 years ago, right? So I can do that, and you can be filling it up, and it's costing more. Oh my gosh. And I can get into fear. I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I can get into anger and rage because, you know, we're not going to finish the rest of that sentence, right? So this is what I do at the gas pump. Nobody hears me, okay? And I'm going, Father God, shh. It's going ding, 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 ding. Father God, I thank you that you promised that you would supply all my needs according to your resources. And I thank you that you are a God that cannot lie. And I thank you that I am not going to be lacking, all right? So you know that negative you got to get rid of with the gas pump? So I'm going to say thank you. Everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
Right? You got to get to it. Because if not, you are allowing anger and blank, and you will suppress the Holy Spirit from moving big in your life. So I'm going to go with thankfulness, right? And then the grocery store. I buy the same stuff every week. Eggs, chicken, yogurt, lettuce, baby carrot sticks. Just the same thing. I don't even know why I make shopping lists. I just go buy it. So I'm pushing this, and I'm getting to checkout, and I'm like, whoa. I bought chicken. No beef. Whoa. And you know, I can start, right? Anybody else's grocery bills? You're like, I got the same stuff. Same stuff, okay. So, you gotta back last year, I could save money going That's Philippians 4. Father, I thank you that this is your promise for my life, that that you will supply all of my needs through your resources, okay? So I have to do that. And by the way, me getting angry and spazzing out isn't going to change the situation. But you know what will change the situation? Father, I thank you. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. You have blessed me coming in and blessed me going out. I thank you, Father, that my storehouse is overflowing. Praise God. So what are you going to focus on? I'm just going to be thankful. I dare you to try that. Go to the gas pump and go to the grocery store. Make a decision before you go in. Make a decision before you get to the checkout. I am going to be thankful, all right? Because I want to allow the Holy Spirit to move higher in my life so he can do all sorts of wonderful things, all right? Now, again, I have to make a decision, okay, to be thankful, all right? And by the way, it's not just about to go into the gas pump. Make a decision in every area of your life. I'm just going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. I thank you, Father. Thankful. Right? Right? And listen, because when you don't, what do? We grieve the Holy Spirit. You make him sorrowful. All right? And I don't want to do that because I want him in my life in a happy place so he can move my life. Amen? All right? So here's another thing. There's also a switch that you have to turn on. There's a switch that you and I have to turn on. And if you're taking notes, they're going to put this on the screen. Ready? Desiring the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Okay? Desiring the Holy Spirit to work in our lives will activate him. All right? So everybody say, desire. Want. I have to desire him. You have to desire him. It's not like when my kids were little. You will eat your vegetables, okay? Tell them to do. But y'all big boys and girls, so you have to want him and desire him, all right? Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14:1. We're talking about desiring the Holy Spirit to work in our life. 1 Corinthians 14:1, right? Follow the way of love. Amen. Okay? And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, for all of you that just get really narrow, you can say, well, Pastor D, that's just about the gifts. And I'm like, yeah, but who gave the gifts? Who gives the gifts? It's the Holy Spirit, all right? It's the Holy Spirit. And listen, anytime it says to desire something, that means if you don't desire it, you're not getting it. You have to desire it. You have to want it, all right? So he's saying that I have to desire it, and when I desire it, I desire the Holy Spirit to move in my life, I desire all that God has, I desire the gifts to move in, then he'll start releasing it, okay? But it starts with me. Tell your neighbor, it starts with you. Amen. All right. So this word desire means to long for, all right? I'm going to tell you a true story. No lie. True story. This happened years ago where at Bible school we met this couple, and they were just cute because they were East Coasters, you know. Everybody else I know is from the South. And, so this, I'm changing the names. Okay, so this guy, I'm just going to call him Fred. Fred had been a vegetarian through high school because that's the thing to do, and then through college. And then he gets married, and he takes his wife to MBA, Major League Baseball. Thank you, Stephen Cashman. Takes her to a Phillies game, and he's been a vegetarian for like 8 years. And you know those vendors are all over the place. Hot dogs, get your hot dogs, yeah. And right there, my friend said, "I'm with it. I want some hot dogs." And I love hot dogs. I'm like, yeah. And he didn't eat just one. And I'm telling you, that's not a good way to come off of being a vegetarian. I wouldn't want to follow the bathroom afterwards, okay? So he's chowing down. I know, too much information. Okay, so, but listen, this is the way God wants us to be with the Holy Spirit. I gotta have you. I want you in my life to work at a high level. Remember saying, I gotta have you. All right? Now, I have to remind myself that. Because, you know, sometimes I'm just in life. And so I have to remind myself, I want the Holy Spirit to move in my life. I desire him to move in my life, right? So, this is what I say. Father, I desire the Holy Spirit to move in my life. Matter of fact, I desire all you got. I desire gifts of the Holy Spirit to move in my life. I desire it. Amen. Amen. All right, now let me give you two things that the Holy Spirit does no matter what. Okay? He's like the mom. I can go in your room, Lena. Who are you going to do it no matter what? All right? So these are two things that the Holy Spirit does no matter what. And even if you don't want to, if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, one of these, Jesus does, all right? So open up, write this down. Another post-it note for the week, ready? The Holy Spirit always convicts and releases desires inside of us. The Holy Spirit always convicts and releases desires in us, okay? Now, when I say convict, I don't mean he's condemning you, all right? It's not... Okay, but conviction, especially for believers, is, I know, Holy Spirit, I should read my Bible more. I know I should be tithing and giving. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know, but I like it, but I want to. I know, whatever it is in your life, okay? That's the Holy Spirit moving in your life, all right? It's not a conviction to smash your face down. So open over to John 16. Talking about the Holy Spirit, he always convicts and he wants to release desires inside of you. John 16, verse 7. This is red letter in the Bible, so who's doing the talking? Jesus is talking. He says, thank you. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, the comforter, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. Because if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world, non-believers, of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. Okay? Now, for all of you that get a little narrow, you're like, well, that's just for the non-Christians. I know that. And that is why I pray for some people all the time that don't know the Lord Jesus. I pray, especially in the service, you know, I pray before services. Father God, if there's somebody in this room or someone listening online today, and they come in here and they don't know you, Father, I pray that you convict them, that they are a sinner, that they are sin-stained. I pray that you would convict them, that they need Jesus, the Savior. I pray that you would convict them, that there is righteousness that they can walk in. And I pray that you would convict him that there is a judgment at the end if you don't receive Jesus. I pray that, all right? You ought to pray that. And I'll tell you what, the more you and I pray that, that's why we see people raise their hand at the end of service, right? Would you like to receive Jesus? All right? That's what happens. But here's the thing. That's for a person who doesn't know Jesus. So now I know Jesus. What happens next? Is he like, I'm done with you? No, he is always convicting us, all right? He's still going to be convicting us. Like, he keeps convicting us. D, you need to do this. D, don't open your mouth, okay? He's convicting us on things we ought to do for him or things we should not be doing, all right? And so, listen, he convicts us whether I want him or not. He convicts us if I'm following him or not. He's going to convict us, okay? And that's where we start going, okay. I'm going to deep clean this. I'm going to deep clean this because I hear you. You're talking to me, all right? And I'm going to wash this anger out of my life. And I'm going to wash this bitterness out of my life and this unforgiveness. I'm going to do it, okay? And he's just speaking to you, all right? So he's convicting us because that's what he does, all right? Now, here's the other thing he does. So you can write this down. The Holy Spirit places desires in us. Desires in us. So turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit places desires in us, right? For God is working in you. Yay! Giving you the what? The desire. Oh, the Holy Spirit, God, he's working in you to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. All right. The whole subject of this is about a desire to live pleasing God. All right? A desire, not for the hot dogs, right? It's a desire to live to please God in everything that I do, all right? So, if you're not pleasing him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to put a desire in you so that you would want to follow him, that you would want to live a life pleasing to you. He's just on you. He's He's just on you, okay? So whether it's this way or that way, all right? So whether you want God in your life or you don't, whether you want to follow him or not, he's just going to put these desires in you that I need to forgive, I need to do this, I need to stop being offended, I need to stop being all bitter and bent out of shape and being negative, okay? That's him convicting us, and that's a good thing, right? And then he's going to place a desire in us. Everybody say convict and desire, okay? But here's the thing. I have to do the deep cleaning. It's me. And I'm glad you're listening to me, okay? But I have to do this in my life for me, right? So I have to do this. And then I can have that work, the Holy Spirit work in my life at a higher level. Amen. So, we're doing good. I'm sorry, I was talking so fast because I thought, man, I'm never going to get this in. Okay, here's my water. Here's my water. You're allowed to do this when you're up here. Two more things the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And I was like, I could give you 10. Go read your Bible. I'm going to give you two more things, two more areas that the Holy Spirit wants to help us. Everybody say, help us.
Help us.
Okay? He wants to help us, right? Number one, the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. And that is super important, all right? And some of us, it's that, you know, I'm going up, I'm asking them, can I get this? Ooh, green light. Yep, I'm going to go do that. And then other times, it's, you know, the wet socks, the red light. Yeah. And some people, you know, they say, Pastor, I've heard this from the Lord, heard. And I like those people in my life because they keep me out of trouble, right? So, and then they're operating maybe in a higher gift than I am. But hey, the red light, green light is how the major way he leads all of us. So anyone who listens, that's what the Bible calls it, all right? So, turn over to Proverbs. Let me give you an area. Proverbs 3:5. The Holy Spirit in us wants to guide us. Proverbs 3:5. I shared this scripture last week. It's just a good scripture. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. Okay. So he's not saying don't use your brains, right? He's not saying your intellect. Jude 2:4. He's not saying not to do that, but trust in the Lord. Like that first story I told you about Rick and the investment and stuff like that. I mean, it was a no-brainer to do it, but then, I keep hearing, trust in the Lord that you heard, don't do that, right? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And verse 6, ready? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take, all right? So I am determined, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter, you know, when the Lord's speaking to me, I am going to go seek him first. Seek him first, because he says he's going to direct my path. He's going to tell me what directions to go, okay? So seek him, and he'll direct you, right? Now, I don't mean to sound weird or super spiritual, but I think it's like a no-brainer. Why don't you seek him first? It'll keep you out of trouble. And I can give you a list of things. Why don't you do that yet? Jack and I did not pray about this certain thing, and we invested money, and it was bad. We didn't even pray about it. Fucking better, all right? So, come on, it's a no-brainer. Why don't you seek him, all right? So, Lord, should I move? Should I move to Florida? Oh, my God, no! Don't go to Florida. Stay here, my CF. Eric is here up visiting us. They did. It was really hard to blame them. The rest of you can't go. I love PA, right? Lord, when I ask, this is praying, okay? You know, sometimes it's in my car praying. Lord, should I change my job? I'm telling you guys, just drive all over the place. Wanted, you know, fill out your applications online. There are jobs out there, okay? But I need to ask him, Lord, should I change jobs? Right? Sometimes they go, well, they're going to give me more money. No, guys, go ask him first. Seek him first, all right? And then trust what he says, all right? That's him, that's right. There you go. Okay. It was good. You know, seek him, right? Next, here we go. So pray those prayers. Ask him, Lord, what should I do about this? And he said, he will direct your path. And sometimes I'm like, I need to pray it, and then you do the directing. And then he goes, well, just be still and quiet for a few minutes, and I will do that, all right? Okay. So I'm going to seek him, and he will direct my path, all right? Now, let me give you a couple of promises. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 25. This is God's promises, ready? Since you are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life. So one, he's in us. He's in us to help us. And then he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. So he's in us. He's going to help us. He's going to guide us. Now turn over to Psalm 48. This is a goodie. 48 verse 14, right? This is an Old Testament scripture. It's just as good, y'all. For that is what God is like. All right, so you have to read verses 1 through 13, and it goes through this whole list. This is who God is. This is how wonderful God is. This is what he does. So it's this whole list, and then he starts in verse 4, and he says, so that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will what? Guide you. Guide us until we die. So it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, he says, I'm going to guide you. And I'm like, amen. So, but I'm going to seek him, and he promises he'll guide us. But you know, when you start with, you just jump off, and then you land in the, everything blows up, and this is where I'm going, oh, darn, I didn't seek him. So we want to seek him, right? Praise God. He's going to guide us, all right? Here's the second area that the Holy Spirit wants to help us. If you want to jot this down, the second area that he wants to help us in. It says, the Holy Spirit is in us to exhort us and teach us. The Holy Spirit's in us. This is what he wants to do, how he wants to help us. He wants to help us by exhorting us and teaching us. So turn over to John 14, verse 25. The Holy Spirit's in us because he wants to exhort us and teach us. Ready? John 14, 25. I'm telling you, by the way, this is Jesus. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. I've gone to the cross. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. We'll talk about that in a minute. So he'll send the Holy Spirit to teach you everything and will remind you of everything. The remind you is he's going to exhort you, right? So how does he exhort you? Well, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Anybody read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Right? Okay? Is Jesus still speaking to you? Yeah. All right? When you read Romans all the way through Revelation, okay? Is Jesus still speaking to you? Is Jesus the Word? Well, he's called the Word, right? And you read the Old Testament. Is that still the Word? Right? So I love that. He's still speaking. So how does he speak? All right? So I have gone through just a few biggies of troubles and struggles in my life. And this is what I love about the Holy Spirit. I'm going through this struggle, and I may be just feeling like even down and depressed and anxious and fearful. I'm going through this, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, I don't know how he does this, I just kind of cracks me up. All of a sudden, I'm going through this tough time, and this is happening, and whoa, this is really what's going on. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts bubbling up scriptures. And I'm like, oh. Then it goes to my head. I'm like, oh, I like that. And there's scriptures I haven't even read in who knows what, okay? Okay, but this is the Holy Spirit. It'll bubble up the Word of God. That's why it says, I'm the Word of God. Word of God in your heart, right? And to tell you what, so God, I've got this situation, Lord, and it's bubbling up, these scriptures, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, that's right, I have peace, I have assurance, it's like I'm saying, Dee, I got you. I'm like, okay. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit will bubble up. So, when your mom or when Pastor Dee says, hey, you need to be in the Word, or hey, you need to read more than a 30-second devo on your cell phone, okay? Or how about this one? Hey, you need to meditate. Grab what you just read today. Make it a post-it note in your car and just chew on that, all right? Or hey, you need to listen to the Word. That's so the Holy Spirit will bubble the things up, the Word of God, that it goes from here to here, and you're like, we're good, all right? And so when the Holy Spirit exhorts you with the scriptures, okay, that's then my pipes get cleaned out. And then I can walk in the, and, you know, with him moving big in my life. So let's talk about he will teach you. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. All right? The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. What we have received, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Who is that? What's that? It's God is in us. We're his temple, okay? But this, we have received the Spirit who is from God, right? So that we may understand what God has freely given to us. So we might understand what God has freely given to us. Now, that word understand, okay? So God doesn't always work with the real brightest, you know, the real brain acts. That doesn't say that's going to happen all the time, right? It doesn't always work with all those, you know, people that are IQs and do great on their SAT score. Okay, anyway. So, but God can really work with real bright people. The Apostle Paul, man, this guy was educated with the educated, right? And God worked with him, right? God worked with him. Amazing. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? And then we got Peter. You know, I'm not even sure Peter had an 8th grade education like the Amish, okay? He was a fisherman, right? So, but God worked with him, right? God worked with him, right? Now, Peter understood the scriptures. Paul understood the scriptures. Guess what? Same with us. That can be us. I don't have to be, what is it, the sharpest pencil in the box. I can get understanding, and I can understand the scriptures, okay? And let me give you this. Two prayers that I pray for you, I pray for myself, I've been praying this for years, okay? Two prayers that you need to know. Write down Ephesians chapter 1. They're not going to put this on the screen. Ephesians chapter 1. There's two prayers. This is the Apostle Paul. Two prayers that you ought to pray for yourself, okay? I'm going to read this out of the King James, but this is Paul. After I heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers. So these are prayers that Paul prayed, and these are prayers, guys, you got to know and you got to pray. These are the prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Woo! You should be shouting. And knowledge of him. Verse 18. That the eye, we say this and we sing a song. That the eyes of your understanding would be opened and enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints. Okay. I pray this for you. Matter of fact, if you listen to me, start praying in the morning. But I pray for this in the morning. I pray this for you, okay? And y'all, if you pray this, it'll speed things up. It's not just me praying for you, right? So pray this prayer, okay? So this is verse 18. God, would you open the eyes of their understanding? It says, that they might know, that they might perceive, that they might understand your scriptures. Every time you open them up. So I had this friend, not super educated, all right? And she's like, I just enter every Bible, I don't know what it's saying. I said, pray this prayer. I'm going to pray this with you. Father, open up my eyes that I might know, that I might perceive, that I might understand your words. And she came back a year later. You know, she was in church, and she says, oh, Lord, every time I read the Bible, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. As opposed to, I never understand anything. So, what is your responsibility? Now, I'm praying this for y'all, okay? But how about you pray that, right? So I pray, Father, open up their eyes, make the Bible make sense so they might grow and understand the scriptures. And then verse 17, that is really cool. God, would you give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they would intimately know you? Listen, you know who Jesus is? You know who he is? He's seated in the heavenlies. He died for you. He has his inheritance. And his inheritance is your inheritance. And he's made you an overcomer. And he's seated you up there. And he gave you the power of the word and the authority. You know your Jesus? Okay, let's read that one again. That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him more intimately. Because when you know him more intimately, you will live big and high. And the devil's like, oh God, here she comes again. Okay? He should be saying that about you. Oh my gosh, they know who God is and the Son is. And oh my God. Instead of, you know, I have a relationship with God, this invisible God? Well, only God does it. It's just, you know, my brain can't figure it out, but he does do it. So I'm going to pray. If you need to pray, Ephesians 1, verses start, just read 15, 16, 17, 18. Father God, open the eyes of their understanding that they might understand this word. Every time, open my eyes. Give me understanding. Shoo, baby, okay? All right, so how about we just thank God right now? Everybody, Jesus. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Open your mouth and say thank you. I just gave you. You gave me a chance. Come on. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that he's here to help us. Thank you that he's always on me, convicting me to do and to go because you love us. Amen. Amen. How about you bow your heads, close your eyes? Okay, we're gonna pray. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that we're not a one and done and you walked and left us here. I thank you, Father, that you love us, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to be in us. You made us holy, but he's in us to help us and to convict us that we would, because he wants us to move forward. And Lord, I just know that the Holy Spirit's been talking to us. And just say, Holy Spirit, talk to me. What are those areas in my life that I need to deep clean? Because I want you to move big and high in my life so I can live this life and be and do all that you call me to be. Thank you. Just say, Holy Spirit, listen, he knows. Just ask him, what are those areas in my life that I need to just deep clean so he can move, that I would not hinder and grieve? Yep. Remind us to desire, to say, I desire all of your wisdom, to know all your plans. I want all that you have. I desire you, Holy Spirit. I've got to have you. In fact, I'm just tired of doing it with this heaviness in my life. I said, Lord, I've got to have you in my life. Holy Spirit, lead and guide me. Eyes closed, one more thing. Probably even the best thing. All right? Because y'all have been praying this prayer here. But I want to ask everybody here to almost clarify how this is between you and the Lord. Okay? What have you done with Jesus? Right? What have you done with Jesus? Because someday we all stand before the Lord God. It's called the judgment seat. Okay? For those of you that have received Jesus, it's like, come on in! But what have you done with Jesus? Have you asked him into your life? Okay? And said, yeah, I've asked him into my heart, into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. Okay, so so I'm asking, can you remember a day and a time when you said that, Lord, I've asked you into my life. You're my Savior. I'm a child of God. And I'm not asking, did you come to church? Okay, that's good. Church is good. I love church. We have fun here at church. Okay? Because you're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well, I used to go to church. You're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well, I was baptized as a baby. It's not going to work. Okay? Well, Lord, I used to do this. I used to help this. I used to give money. I helped this person, that person. And he's going to say, no. He's going to say, the only way you receive the Lord Jesus is not by your works. It's by saying, he's the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. So it gets down to this. Today, and I believe the Holy Spirit speaking to hearts, would you like to receive Jesus and know you're forever? You're forever his. You're forever loved. You're forever child of God. And then heaven's your forever, all right? So if you'd like to pray, receive Jesus, it's really not complicated, and I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that, but I would like you to just pray this prayer after me, and there's so many of you here, I know, you've already prayed this prayer, but if you've not asked Jesus Christ into your life, all right, well, you know, there's a personal Jesus in my life, and you'd like to pray this prayer, how about we all pray this together, all right? Just mean it from your heart. You don't have to stand, do gargoyles, or scream. Just mean it from your heart. Just say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. And he went and died on the cross for me. He went and took the sins of the world and my sins and my punishment on that cross. And he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And today, Lord, I'm asking Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Thank you for washing my sins away. Today I stand before you, holy, blameless, righteous. I'm now a child of God. And you are my Father. And I will follow you, Lord, all the days of my life. Amen. Now, everybody's eyes down. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you just raise your hand because I'd like to get a Bible to you. All right? And the Bible says, God says, and you know, we don't see heaven. We don't have my eyes open to see heaven like that. But he says, if one person prays that prayer, one person asks Jesus to come into their life, it says, there is a celebration going on. That's how valuable you are. And you are so valuable that heaven celebrates. Your home, you're a child of God. And the blessings are just going to overtake you. So if you prayed that prayer, we want to celebrate and with you and stuff like that, okay? All right, I thought you can look at me. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit? Amen. Have a wonderful